John Wanova, and this is a supper with Cookie and Helen this Saturday, the 6th of July, 74. He's come to get Noopy. Noopy is going to take a trip clear up to Pennsylvania. Channel 1 over, and supper with Cookie and Helen this Saturday, the 6th of July, 74. Channel 1 over, and the session with Cookie and Helen at supper this Saturday, the 6th of July, 74. They've come to get Noopy and take her for a long ride up to Pennsylvania. And that is a great service. And it's a good while before the talk begins.
The memorial will be dedicated July 10th at Washington. you the way we look for it. No matter what the price of gas goes, I believe that the American people are still going to purchase the gasoline to enjoy the recreation. And this is what we enjoy doing. And if gas goes up 3 times as much as it is now, I think we'll still go up. You'll come right back down here to the beach. Oh, yes, the beach, the desert, and the mountains, wherever the good old American people enjoy themselves most.
You get the feeling that Americans believe it's a patriotic duty to go somewhere on the 4th. And in a place like this, it seems almost that times are normal. Terry Drinkwater, CBS News, Oceanside, California.
Some vehicles that haven't been on the road this holiday weekend are today's version of the old Pony Express, the highway post offices. They were absent not because of legal holidays or heavy traffic. They have been phased out. Charles Oskis reports from Route 71 in Ohio.
Jim McCaskey has been working the U.S. mails for well over 30 years now. But he belongs to a species of postal employee who just this past week crossed over the line from endangered to extinct.
We're certainly sorry to see it go. Can't spend 30 years without thinking something about it.
At the end, there were only 19 men who sorted mail this way, by hand, aboard specially rigged trucks called highway post offices. The last high pole made its last run last weekend, an overnight trip between Cincinnati and Cleveland. The idea of the highway post offices was to process mail en route, to transport it and work it at the same time. They were put into operation just before World War II in 1941. And at one time, 1961, there were more than 200 such trucks on the road and 4,000 men working on them. Most of the men who've been working the high pose will retire now or be transferred to inside, more regimented jobs like these. The theory now is that processing can be done faster at places like this one in Cincinnati than trucks, or in the case of first-class mail, flown between Cincinnati and Cleveland in air taxis contracted by the Postal Service. So it's the end of the road for these fellows, for whom Hebron and Astor Beulah have been slots, known to them the way a piano player knows B-flat or F-sharp. For whom Chillicothe is a flick of the wrist, Novelty, Black Lick, and New Albany, like neighbors, and the Villes, like old friends, Granville and Danville, Thornville, and Painesville.
Like out here, you got to get on the mail work for a certain destination, or else it won't get delivered the next day.
You have teamwork out here. That's the big thing out here, is one man will help the other one, and none of this, that's my job, the heck with it. That's his job, let him do it. Here, everybody works together. And you get it done real quick.
So the highway post offices are history. You won't be seeing them anymore along Route 71 or any other road. Maybe most folks in Cincinnati or Cleveland won't notice the difference. Although most of these fellows tell us they're convinced the mail service is not going to get any better. No way. But they'll miss it. They'll miss the crazy hours, 4 long days on, then 8 off. And they'll miss the sway of the big trucks at night, the feel of the highway beneath their feet. And most of all, they'll miss being the special people they were. Charles Osgood, CBS News, on Route 71.
Oh, Mom.
I'd rather hear that than the news.
There ain't much on the news anymore, are they?
Oh, you know, same old
Nixon
thing.
Nixon had a sore leg.
I got a sore side. Sore head. Inside.
Well, all you have to do with that young fella, young lady, is just a handler.
Nixon.
And put a halter on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. A little halter wouldn't hurt her at all, would it?
I'd make a woman out of it.
I've got one dress her size.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, if we'd have had it, it'd done been on her.
Well, that's what happened to me when I came in here. We got one right out there.
Well, we'll do that next time. I'll be around next week.
Cookie, Helen said you weren't too fond of these peas.
No, they're all right.
But that just happened to be what we were cooking tonight.
Tater, that's better than nothing.
Sure.
Except so, Helen, don't stand on the ceremony. You know, we were doing something and all the food got cold the other day, and the iced potato was just plum cold when I ate mine, and you know, a cold iced potato tastes good.
It does.
You know, potatoes aren't good until they're warmed up three or four times.
Yeah.
Then they get good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't know that, did you?
No. You mean mashed potatoes and
no.
Baked?
No. You take just plain old stewed potatoes.
Yeah.
The more you stew them, the better they taste. That's right.
That ought to help you some. And there's cornbread here, Mr. Cookie.
All right.
Well, that's just perfect for a restaurant, isn't it?
Yeah, but they don't ever warm them up only in hash browns for breakfast.
All right.
I'm charging 40 cents for them.
There's salad down there and there's tomatoes.
You mean now?
They
didn't used to charge anything.
Uh-uh.
They just threw them in, Cookie.
You walk in a restaurant and get a bowl of beans and chunk of cornbread and cost you 95 cents. It used to be you couldn't get it. Now then it's a luxury.
Yeah,
brown beans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, ma'am. Just salt.
Now, these peas have a history. I went down there yesterday afternoon and picked them. And the way it looked, there wasn't enough peas down there to make a mess. I took them over to Miss Daisy. She and Faye, I'd understood we were going to shell them. Daisy said many a half of peas been taken out of that little patch this year. And the only trouble is I get in on the tail end.
With the weeds.
Yes, they've all put up peas, eat peas and put up peas.
Have some.
Little man, they're speaking to each other.
And they're going to be Molly speaking tonight. I'm going to stretch them out.
Yeah, your friend's sitting up there. Look at that red head.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's a handsome fellow. Don't you know he knows he's handsome?
Most of them do.
That's a bright little filly. She's got good sense. She's out there eating those ahead.
Can you tell whether a horse is going to have any sense from at this age?
Yeah.
Think she got any sense?
She got plenty of sense. You see how when she turned around and got to look at me and I got to petting her on her nose, I guess that's the first time she's ever been petted in a close pen. She got just as calm as anything you ever saw.
Yeah. And when you moved, she walked out. Just took her time.
Mm-hmm. Just took her time. She wasn't a bit excited in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Not one bit.
All they have to do is go out and look for a little liquid food.
Yeah.
Thank you.
the first time I've eaten your house for a long time, ain't it?
She always cookies. We were celebrating Newbie.
Yeah. Don't be surprised if I bring her back. You can't be surprised now.
Well, I hope you find a good place for us, but she'd be fine. They are the sweetest tomatoes.
It will be a good home, or I'll bring them back.
Is that little thing out there doing a little plow roll? Would that be fun?
What? I'll bring a 18-inch collar back for her.
She got a little neck.
18-inch, you ought to say. Now, God didn't know that measured that neck.
No.
What did you use?
When did you measure it?
I use my eye.
You just estimated.
Yes, sir. An 18-inch collar will fit her just snug, just right.
And that's a small?
That's a small collar, yeah.
Well, I had to take up that little halter. Oh, it is far as a pony head. And I put Mrs. Saddle on her. A little English saddle on her. And went to the last of the notch. But it went.
How did she,
Fine, she didn't care what I had on.
You rode her?
Yeah.
That's good.
Rode her all morning. I mean, rode up all around the path. With a baby right with her. You got a nice little trot. A slow trot, she can sit it. Fast trot, she had to post. At least I posted. And I didn't push her to a low.
Well, she's not a rough rider.
No, she's nice. She got a fairly smooth little trot.
Well,
I'll give her a vitamin or two.
If you don't want the filly to go along, what you do is just put her in the canal, in the corral.
Yeah.
And the second time you do it, she'll take it for granted.
Yeah.
Well, as long as you're just riding in the pasture,
she's not in the way. The only thing, put her out on the road, why it wouldn't be.
No, you wouldn't want to do that.
Helen, you might want to do?
No.
I might not get back by Thursday.
I don't see how you can, could you?
Oh, I could.
Well, it depends on how many stops you got. How much, you don't know about how many tram stops you got. Uh-huh. They just come up.
Yeah. I was a man up in Owensburg, South Carolina, about 7 miles east of Owensburg. It's got 7 head of horses in one cell. There's another one up in North Carolina. You got one big pinto in one cell. Woman in Glassboro, New Jersey, called me last night, wants a horse.
Look at that.
All the way from Glassboro. Jasper, New Jersey.
For a horse, way down here.
I'd have a hard time finding Glassboro, New Jersey, Helen.
I'm afraid I would too.
It's right on Route 322, just east of Wilmington, Delaware.
God, just to think about you traveling all up there.
I told him I'd like to go with him one time.
Take your vacation.
Say, it's not altogether just getting there at a certain time, Cookie says. He says, you know, if you run a tramp shift, something will develop, and he can go off the beaten path and see what it is.
And that's the fun.
That's where all the fun is. There ain't no fun to get out here and just run straight up the road.
Why, sure not?
If I go up and say, I go into some of them little old hick towns in Georgia. I hear a man got an old mule he wants to sell or trade. I got something on the trade. Man, I'll make a right flank and I'll go.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Man, you see, man is getting in the truck and just beating his brains out right up and down that road. Right down that road. Not unless he's got a load for somebody else, but where they're all mine, I can do as I please.
Sure.
Well, where do you pick up word of those things? That you at the truck stops?
Oh, truck stops or wherever I stop. I mean, I'm trading wherever I stop. I never meet a stranger.
Just asking if I have any sales or
not. I'm always desperate, you know. You're always desperate, see. You got to be desperate.
You got to be desperate.
You got to be desperate.
Well, up 301, we pass a... Mm-hmm.
That's in Page from South Carolina.
Yeah, that's right.
You gotta just, yeah.
You gotta win someplace. Hey, I wonder where there's a horse sale like tomorrow or tonight.
Just got to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And everybody looks at you like you're a fool. Well, maybe you are a fool in their book. Well, I don't know, but I say there's a man out here in on this Clay Road just south, about 3 miles. He's got a horse he wants to trade off.
They'll say that.
Yeah, sure. That's where all the fun is.
Oh.
I'm telling you, they can use some of the idiotic directions that you ever heard tell of in your life.
You want some of that too?
And you'll find out about these.
Yeah.
And you get out there, and he's showing up. You'll have one he wants to trade.
If it ain't, I'll try my best to make him think it is.
Well, he don't object to trading with you, does he?
No.
As soon as you start trading, it's just like you've known each other for a long time, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It gives you about 5 minutes. And
if they're natural traders now.
In about 5 minutes, and he'd be better be careful, and he won't hardly have any shoes left. But I'm liable to have them.
Cookie, you don't run into many just really natural traders.
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
You can spot one pretty fast.
Yeah, John L. Lee from Benson, North Carolina. He's a big horse trader.
But he's a big one. I'm talking about these fellas you run into, like a man 3 miles down the road got a horse he wants.
Oh, no, you don't run into them. No, them just casual, everyday poor people.
Yeah.
Like you are.
Yeah, just like myself.
If he happened to be a trader, it'd be an exception.
Yeah. And you can usually come out all right when you trade with people like that, usually.
Cookie, most people who have just a horse, you know, not a fancy horse, just a horse on the side, they're more like a trade, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They'll tell you the truth?
No, they'll tell you a lie and then laugh about it.
All of them?
Most of them, 95% of them will.
And just let you find out about it?
Let you find out. You just got to be slicker than they are.
Well, for one thing, after a horse is about 10 years old, you can't tell too much about his age, can you? You can tell when they're 40, of course.
As long as them teeth are in a shape about like that.
Yeah, and hip.
And hip, all of them, there is nothing to worry about.
That's right.
Because they are just turning
about
10 years old.
10 years old, uh-huh.
They're just coming about a 10-year
right.
old.
Mm-hmm.
But now whenever they start sticking out like that and they're all haggard and they don't meet, you better watch out.
That's right.
Oh, and the horse Daddy bought one time. I never will forget that. Uncle Fred was quite a horseman himself, you know. He loved horses. He went to get it for Daddy. When he was so ashamed of it, he brought it back through the woods. And before he got home, he tied it to a tree and took his pocket knife and cut its tail off. His tail was dragging the ground.
Well, you know.
Oh, that was a pitiful horse.
Hey, I prayed for one so poor one time I shamed up. I brought him through the backwoods.
I don't blame you.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir, right here in Florida.
Oh, that was a poor looking horse.
Whoo!
Really?
Sometimes you start to get caught.
I made out all right.
But you didn't keep him and give him access. You can't come out doing that.
Mm-mm. Only horse I kept and fed rations just for the heck of it, for spite, was old Silver. That's the third horse I had. He was the best horse in the state of Florida. Wasn't he, Helen?
Mm-hmm.
He was old.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember you said that.
And that little old Sarah, she could take him and do anything she wanted with old Silver. Anything. Take him and ride him right down the street and with 50 mares around him, and that horse never opened his mouth.
He was old.
You turned him out, though, and he wasn't old. He acted young.
Oh, really?
He acted like a 2-year old.
Is that right?
As long as someone had a hold of him.
Uh-huh.
They wasn't a finer horse in the country.
Hmm.
Heck, me and Jack Stoker spinning some cows. I was riding him, and Jack was riding that $10,000 stud of his. Two studs riding right along together. And a cow broke out of the herd. I didn't have to tell Silver to get it. I had to find some leather.
Uh-huh.
I had to hunt leather because he had left me sitting out there and got that cow. I tell you what, I just beat Jack Stokes. He just couldn't hardly believe it. Old Silver had that in him.
Uh-huh.
But he sure got that cow. I was around her and had her turned back before Jack Stokes ever got the horse he was at. I did. And Jack will tell you that.
Uh-huh. I bet. Oh, some of them.
Well, I'll take this little map. What appeals to you about her?
Her gentleness, kindness.
Well, you ain't interested in gentleness and kindness.
Well, I am if I'm going to sell her to people that is interested in gentleness and kindness.
Yeah.
She's just a good man. She's got a good, natured. She is. She's good natured.
She doesn't have mean thoughts, does she?
She don't have a mean look, no. You can tell one's got a mean look. You're a little man.
Yeah.
Now, he got a mean look.
Yeah.
And he is mean, too, because he bucked twice to me before I got the trailer.
He put his ears back. You know what he means. You better leave him alone.
He bucked twice with me.
Wait a minute, he going the wrong way?
No, he is feeling good, mean. He's going. He don't want to work off some meanness.
Oh, is that it?
But you put little kids on him and he
now you noticed how he did with me.
Yeah.
Nudge right and let me rub right up him, but he didn't bother me. I never had an offer to do anything.
Well, I tell you what, if I'd had a buggy whip just afternoon when I was trying to catch that mare, I'd have whipped her. I was so mad, nothing makes me more furious than to go up, get almost to him.
Mm-hmm.
Have them walk off and then walk off and look at you. And
did they do you that way?
Yeah.
And of course I knew it.
Well, now, if you'd been here, you'd gone ahead and caught her.
I'd have caught her one way or the other.
Well, I...
What other way?
First time.
Huh?
First of all, I'd have hung my halter on the fence post, stuck me a hay string in my pocket.
I did that.
I went up to her and pulled my belt off and put her around her neck and then rode her in. With my belt around her neck.
That's the way you would have done it?
Yeah.
Well, what if she'd kept right out of your reach?
I'd have hemmed up in the corner someplace.
Well, you can't hem a horse. Cookie, they can cut right through.
Why can't I?
You can get one in the corner if you do it right.
I can take that lariat I got behind the seat and I'll hem me a horse. Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get a lariat out for a little gentle horse like that.
I don't care. I'll still hem that horse with that lariat.
What do you mean, hem her?
Put it over the top of a post.
Yeah.
Get her going right down the fence. She thinks she's going to go someplace. Pull that lariat up and just wrap her right around and walk up to her and get a hold of her mane. I've hemmed them a many time like that.
You mean throw it over the
fence post? You don't put it over them. You just hem them in the corner with the rope.
Oh, don't tell me.
Well, yeah.
I never even heard of anything like that. Mm-hmm.
Now, come again on that. You make a little pin up.
You got a post right down here.
Yeah.
Or you're coming down this way. You got a fence down this way.
Uh-huh. You yeah.
All right, you got a post down here.
Yeah.
All right, you tie that lariat on top of that post.
Mm-hmm.
You lay it down.
Mm-hmm.
Get her up there in the corner.
Uh-huh.
Then you reach up and pick up the lariat, walk right over to this side, just wrap it right around her, and the first thing you know, you're right up to her head, and she can't go no place.
You made a little pin.
Wrap it around her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
About her hindquarters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she can't go no place. Stand there and look at you. You walk up and put a bridle, a halter, or anything you want to on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or just stand there and talk to her.
Yeah.
I've not seen that.
I'll show you one day what I mean. I may have
mm-hmm.
to catch little man.
Yeah. Well, the thing
well,
I know.
You couldn't catch him that way. He'd break out.
No, he won't. I've caught him that way lots of times.
Is that right? Suppose he breaks out.
Yeah. Go get him again.
You don't succeed the first time, try again.
You don't never give up.
Mm-hmm. Well,
keep after
them. I knew I should have caught up yesterday, but I just got tired and said, oh, to heck with it. But I got used to the bucket. So this morning, all I did was just walk up here and got with a bucket. I still want to know how you do this.
Now, you run into horses who never had any feed, sweet feed?
Yeah.
So they don't know what a bucket's for, do they?
No, they don't know a bit more about a bucket. No.
How long does it take them to learn?
One bite of that feed, they're just
that
about.
Took her. That's how long.
One bite of that feed, and they know what's in that bucket then.
Is that right?
That's right.
This morning she knew that bucket had something in it.
Yeah.
She right to me, right there.
Now some people make a bad mistake by fooling their horses.
I always have feed in it.
Yeah. They'll take an empty bucket out to get your horse with.
Yeah. Well, once or twice, once in a while.
Yeah, and just once in a while, you ain't going to catch them, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to pay you back.
Reckon?
No, shoot, it doesn't. One time is enough to know what they know. One time. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. All I can think about is this tramp steamer. This is a tramp cattleman. Tramp. You've got to have words every now and then to say things. You can't say you're tramping up and down the highway. It's not. It don't go right. Likes them or not.
And good for him. Mm-hmm. I fill him up because he's going to eat a hamburger from now on.
You need some hash brown potatoes to go with them.
What I eat for dinner?
I don't know what you eat for breakfast.
What I eat for dinner?
I don't know.
Well, that's what I eat for breakfast.
You hadn't eaten. Is that it? Well, don't ask me. I wasn't there.
So?
I was in bed. First time I got up, it was for dinner. Second time I got up, it was after. Harry and Ann had beans.
Had brown beans.
So you had a tramp hired to say that.
Cornbread.
Tramp trucker.
They had, yes, cornbread, brown beans. Oh, that's right. We at the table, weren't we? I forgot. I was there. Tuna patties.
Oh, yeah.
Brown beans and cornbread. Here it ain't fixed in. I
tuna
know.
Patties and potatoes never did get done.
Huh?
Did they?
Yeah.
Not for dinner.
The tuna?
I said potatoes.
Oh, the potatoes? No, I didn't see any. They scraped them. What to do with them?
They were cooking them when I left.
They fixed it. They did the cooking. I didn't, so I don't know.
You're not going to interfere with them.
I ate a tuna sandwich, and that was what.
Well, if you can't interfere with him, he might get the job.
Well, he says he could, he knows how, but he's just not going.
Could you say a tramp trucker?
Yeah.
There ain't. I never heard of one.
Well.
Or the originate one.
Yeah.
You ever hear one?
Mm-hmm. I ought to put that on the side of my trailer, on.
Tramp trucker.
Yeah.
Tramp trucker. Roving trucker. That'd be about like it.
Tramp trucker. Tramp is the word.
Yeah, tramping.
That means you go, you don't have any particular route, you just go wherever, you know, you've got a load, a little load or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
fine. Cookie, can you generally move a dog?
Me? Sometimes, some kind. Coon dog can.
Yeah.
Coon dog?
Yeah.
No
man holds still. She accused me of rolling it to him and I said, him that old coon dog.
Who?
Mr. Hope.
He wouldn't hunt coons?
He said he would. Man, well, I don't guess he had to hunt coons because the man gave him to me. I got $50 out of him.
50?
He was a daddy of a friend of ours.
The old man gave him to me.
He gave him to Leo. Leo sold him.
That'll cost you something.
Supposed to be a coon dog, wasn't it?
He said, now there is a coon dog. I said, well, Pop, I said, what do you want that old coon dog? I said, he's a good one. I said, well, tell me what you want for him. I'd give him $25-$30 for him because I knew a man wanting one, see. But he never would put no price on it. When I got ready to leave, he said, I tell you what, he said, I may never see you again. He said, I'm going to give you that dog.
Oh.
Yeah. So he gave me that old dog.
And that's somebody you didn't know?
No, I knew him, yeah.
Up there around your place?
Up in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
And I brought him down here and kept him 3 whole days. And Mr. Hope.
Who owned this? Was
yeah,
the one you owned?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Took an ocean bound us for a coon dog. I got a coon dog, a black and tan coon hound. All you want for him. Oh, I said, he's a good dog. He's a fine looking dog. He was too. Good looking dog. Actually, I didn't tell him no lie. I said, now he's a good looking dog. And he was, wasn't he, Helen?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, he's supposed to be a coon dog.
Supposed to be a coon dog.
That's what the man told you
that's
when you gave it to him.
That's what the man told me when I traded for him. And he asked me what I wanted for him. I told him I wanted $65. But in the roundabout way, well, I got $50 out of him, but $65 trading money.
Uh-huh.
But $25 $50 actual cash. $65 trading money, or $50 actual cash.
Uh-huh.
Well, what'd you take in on him?
Horse.
So you know about what the horse is worth, so you can tell how much value you're getting on your dog.
Yeah, I gave him $50 and a dog for a horse.
Yeah. Well, you see, I can't tell that, see. Now, you see, I traded with Johnny Sims from Molly and traded Dinkle. Well, I paid Johnny Sims $100. And what he said was he would give me $150 for Dinkle. And then he wanted $250 for Molly. Well, anyway, you took it, you see. I come out ahead of him. But I didn't know it.
Yeah?
I don't know whether he knew it or not. But Dinkle, you know, had bad habits.
Dinkle would bite and kick.
He'd do a lot of things.
Right.
He knew Dinkle. I mean, there wasn't anything like that.
Yeah, Johnny knew Dinkle.
So, now, he had so much in this horse, or else he was trading the horse. Oh, you know how he does. There's a horse the man didn't want, so he got Dinkle and sold Dinkle to somebody, and then paid the man. You know all the angles.
Oh yeah.
And the next week, Johnny came back up here and wanted to buy Molly back for $350. The person that who had sold him Molly regretted it and wanted her back.
Yeah.
And for $350, well, she's worth more than that. But anyway.
Yeah. That quick.
Yeah, that's
so you see, Dinkle wasn't worth $150, but he just traded on my price.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And then he put Molly's price accordingly.
Did like when Mr. Hope made me the offer he did on him on Rowdy and Tony. It was just so much money that I absolutely could not refuse it. I just could not refuse it. Then people was a hassling me over here. I had no place to keep me, you know what I mean? And if he ever sells Rowdy, I'll
get
him.
Has he still got him?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
He's been offered a flat $1,000 for him.
And the
pet? No, Rowdy.
Well, you're not likely to get him back then.
Yes, I will.
How would you get him back?
He'll get tired of him.
He's waiting, I guess.
Well, you didn't get tired of him. You were just about to peter out. You see, you got rid of them about the time you went to West Virginia, and I didn't think you'd ever get back.
Well.
And I figured you were just clearing the deck.
There was some doubt there along the line.
Well, I don't mean that what I said was true, but I mean you wasn't able to take care of him.
No, I wasn't able to put the harness on.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You wasn't getting any pleasure out of him. We weren't using him.
I can see Rowdy running now, holding that head up.
Oh, the prettiest thing you see was both of them. You see that when we had that rye over there?
Yeah.
I'd open that gap over there, and they'd start walking, you see. And then the first thing you know, they was going, and that mane was in the air. And I'm telling you, that was a beautiful sight.
One of these days, I'm going to get me a horse again, like Champ, that I keep a long, flowing mane.
Let me tell you something.
Well, Faye, if you weren't so peculiar, you'd take a pretty horse. You got to have a horse with hold his mouth a certain way. Just a horse is a horse.
Cookie and I know better.
You ought to seen that big pair of Belgian mares in New Holland, Pennsylvania.
Hard to leave them up there, isn't it?
Wasn't it though? They weighed 2,200 pounds apiece. And brought $1,310 apiece. $2,620 a pair sold for.
Amish country, wasn't it?
I farm them both then, put them right back on the farm.
Just workhorses?
Workhorses.
Yeah. Amish people,
they were the most beautiful things that you ever laid your eyes on. They wasn't one hair in their mane, their tail, or nowhere out of place.
Elton?
Well, why don't you move up that close to the Amish?
I'm just about to.
The Amish people are...
Goodness.
You know, they're all workers, and they...
Yeah.
They don't use any of the modern facilities, so you really find your horses in Amish country.
Oh, that's right.
Uh-huh.
Wow, they've got some of the finest saddle horses that ever was.
Some of the most beautiful horse and buggy. You know, all their transportation is by horse.
Oh, horse and buggy.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Saddle horse?
Oh, yes, sir.
A saddle horse pulling a buggy. I mean, just cutting it off.
But they don't
road.
Have cars.
No, they have horses.
Oh.
What do you mean,
oh,
saddle horse pulling
country.
A buggy?
Just what I said.
That's their transportation. They don't have cars.
I'm not talking about that, Ellen.
The saddle
horse.
That's right.
Well, they don't use workhorses. The workhorses are too big.
Right. Because he can get down there and get that shuffle, and he don't jerk them and pull them and shake them like a big workhorse does.
And they want one with speed.
And a good saddle horse will pace 30 miles an hour.
On the highways, they have to keep up with the traffic of today. They have to have a fast horse.
That's right.
Well, how would they pace 30 miles an hour?
Well, they can just do it.
Well, you haven't seen one do it.
I have, so.
Not at all.
I'll take you to Pennsylvania and show you. I don't have to
tell
you.
Well, they did that in Hartville, Ohio.
I don't have
to
tell you.
You'd have to go to Pennsylvania.
You'll have to go to Pennsylvania or Hartville, Ohio to see it, but you can see it.
And it's common.
Beautiful
horses. And it's common around...
It's common, that's right. These
yes,
old Amish
country.
Boys about 18, 19 years old, when they first start courting, they got them a saddle horse and a buggy.
They still have.
They still have.
Yes, sir. That's your turn.
I tell you, there's nothing like that.
God,
I want to read you some of the courting scenes in that story of Faulkner's, where the boys have got this yellow wheel buggy. and then they lay, the fellow that's got it, they lay for him, you see.
Yeah.
And you know what happens, one thing after another. And they're rough. They're rough, at least the way Faulkner puts it in. Now, how far back you'd have to go, I don't know. You'd have to go back before you didn't know anything like that.
Well, see, the Amish, their dress, everything is different. They don't even have screens on their windows.
No, nothing modern.
Nothing.
They don't have electric light.
Well, the French don't either.
They have no electricity whatsoever.
As far as I know, there's not a one to screen in France.
Through that area, you don't see any wires.
Wires? No fences?
Electric wires.
Electric wires. No,
oh,
I mean, no
poles.
No poles or anything. And you can see the windows open and the curtains flying out.
They do their reading by the daylight.
Oil lamp.
They can't read by the kerosene lamp, it'll put their eyes out. I don't care whether they're Amish or who.
Well.
Have you tried in recent
yes,
years
sir.
To read by...
Well, if that's all they've ever done, that's
if
all they know.
That's all they're accustomed
See,
to.
See, that's their accustomed to from the time they're babies. And that's all they know.
Their girls wear long dresses and long socks and their hair tied up.
And long
sleeves.
Long sleeves and high neck dresses.
And their dresses buttoned up tight around them.
And the little girls wear long, their dresses are well below the knees with long stockings.
Yeah, they're just doll babies. Good.
Little long, little pigtails. And
them little boys are running around with what we used to call knickers, you know.
Uh-huh.
They come up to about to your knees and blouse out there.
Yeah.
All reared back in them. They're all black.
And then when they start get up to the farming age, they wear overalls and overall jackets.
Well, you trade with them?
Yes, sir.
You don't have anything they want.
If I got a good saddle horse, they'll trade for saddle horse.
You don't have a good saddle horse.
How do you know? I may have one before I get to the state of Pennsylvania.
You have.
Don't get that trap any day.
I may have one before I get to the state of Pennsylvania.
It's unlikely.
No, it ain't unlikely, because I
don't care that much change in your pocket.
You don't have to have change. All you got to have is guts and a big mouth.
Another horse.
Another horse.
I'll trade with. But they have some, their vegetables, you know, they used to bring
to
auction.
You mean if a man's got a good saddle horse, he'll let you trade him out of that?
I have done it.
I don't know.
And I'll do it again.
That sounds dubious. I wouldn't want to try it.
Guy Miles, you've got to have something better than the other man, and you've got to be desperate.
Desperate is the word, isn't
they
it?
They quit talking.
I've got to listen
right.
To
what do you mean, desperate?
You got to be hard up. You got to be on the rock.
Looking for something.
You got to make the other man feel, just make it in short. You got to make the other man feel sorry for you.
First time I ever heard that.
All right, I tell you what's the truth. You ought to go with me.
Is that a new tune you've got?
No, that's just his tune.
Is that an old tune?
That's an old tune. He's just still singing it.
Well, you see, if you get out there, he's got that trait, and you see, I won't be there. All I'll know about it is what he tells me, you see, because he can't perform with an audience. Now, he can talk with an audience, but he can't trade with an audience, you see?
No.
You ain't saw me at a livestock market selling horses.
Why?
You haven't saw me at a livestock market selling horses.
No, there you could have an audience.
A big audience. And you've got something better than anybody else. But now, fellas, you've got to be desperate. You've got to sell them horses, and you're broke, and you've got to get back to the state of Florida. Even though you got $200 or $300 in your pocket, you're broke, you've got to get back to the state of Florida.
And one way to get there is to sell your horses.
Let me tell you.
And I couldn't go along with that.
You know these flatheads?
Yeah.
They come out here to work with me, they read with me, they write with me, and they try to learn a few things. And they go to town, and people ask them what they're doing, and you know they swallow their tongue. They simply can't lie. They can't even tell a Sunday school story. Why can't they say we're out there at the ranch working with Miles on them cows? They can't do it. It'd choke them. Now, you don't believe that.
Well, they have an awful time.
You don't believe that. Huh?
They do. They have an
awful
time.
You don't believe that.
Yeah, it's logical.
You don't have to tell a lie.
Well, now, what are you going to do? Just go around telling the whole truth all the time? You can tell part of it.
No, you don't lie.
It's not a matter of lying.
It's just stretching the truth. But you got, well, heck, I've got up for him any time and stopped the auctioneer when he'd be on my horses. Stopped him dead right there. Wait a minute, fella, wait a minute. I walk around my horse and pick up all four of his feet. Scared half to death, afraid that horse was going to kick me. And turn right around and turn him loose again and get $50 more money.
And the auctioneer goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He knows what you're doing.
He knows what you're doing.
Picking up all four of his feet is something.
Yeah.
Do you know any auctioneers?
Yeah.
Who?
Kenny Weaver and Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Close by, that I can talk to.
Buddy Clark?
Well, he's such a liar, you can't tell whether
they're all just like him.
But he knows, he's got to know what's going on, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Does he know by instinct?
Yeah, he sold some horses up there to Gainesville for me. Buddy Clark has.
He knows by instinct, and he also knows by long practice. And if the fella's not doing what he thinks he is, he ought to be doing it, maybe.
Yeah, he sold me a horse and I didn't even look at that horse.
He did.
He sure did.
Work out?
Yeah, it worked out.
You didn't mean to buy it?
Well, see, we know what we're doing.
Oh, I see.
He sold me a horse and I didn't even look at the horse.
Oh.
Well, I tell you what, you need to go to auctioneer school.
Optimist?
Auctioneer.
auction.
That's right. Wouldn't he make a good auction?
I've sent for a book.
I ain't never had the...
Different.
Well, I've had the money, but I ain't never had the time.
Certain times, you know, certain sessions, different sessions.
Well, it takes 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But you have to go to Missouri.
I'm going to go to Kansas City, Missouri. Stay for 2 weeks.
You mean there is such thing as a school?
Oh, yes,
yes
sir. Uh-huh. In Missouri. In,
and
Kansas
they guarantee you a job when you come out of that school.
Mm-hmm. Cookie, that would be so fun.
Yeah,
I know.
Man.
I'd love to. I'd love to.
I wanted him to.
And wouldn't he be good at it?
That's what I wanted him to do, but he hadn't done it yet.
I can sell. I sold horses in Jacksonville. Man,
yeah.
I take my teeth out and lay them on the counter and sell horses to no end. Me and Jack Stokes. Texas both.
But there is a school. I mean, they have certain sessions.
He has got the bidding for you.
I'll have to send
no.
for a new pamphlet to find out what the sessions are now. I mean, they're changed now since the last one.
You and Jack Stokes together?
Mm-hmm. I can't hold out very long.
Oh,
I see.
Give out.
Yes,
uh-huh. You have to put a lot of that's
really a hard job. Really,
yeah.
Truly, it's a hard job.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
And it goes on. It's endless.
That's right. It's absolutely.
As long endless. As there's something there to sell, you just have to.
And
keep
when he
going
sells
going
that calf out there, he knows whose calf it is.
Yeah, because we got a bill laying right there in front of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
supposed to be a description, isn't it, of everything
yeah.
that as it comes.
See, we got a bill, a weigh bill or a sale bill right there in front of us. All right, when that calf is sold, or that horse is sold, if it's sold to John Doe up yonder on top rail, sold to John Doe, or Bill Smith, or whoever might buy that particular
yeah.
animal.
Yeah.
It's marked right on that thing.
And then they take it through the scales and weigh it again.
Sometimes. Not necessarily.
You take it into a pen, and when you come to get your, they're all marked, you know.
They've all got different markings on.
Numbers.
Numbers. Horses have.
Well, calves.
No, up there in Jacksonville, now it's different. Up there up in New Holland, or Doylestown, or Phoenixville, or Cottondale, or even down in Paisley, South Carolina. Up in Benton, North Carolina. T.W. Waldrop, when a horse comes in, he starts him. That's what he wants to pay for him. If it's a good horse, big, fat, slick horse, maybe he'll start him at $200, and he don't back up. I mean, it's $200. And you just carry on from there. And I've seen him start him at $250 and bring $750.
Well, he has to back up now and then.
No, sir, he will not back up. T.W. Waldrop will not back up. If he starts a if he
well,
sets
but
a
if
horse,
Clark backs up.
I know, but T.W. Waldrop won't back up.
Well, if nobody bids on it, he has to.
He done bought the horse. He'll buy the horse and pay the price.
Oh.
Have
well,
you ever been to
bid.
One of the auctions in
yeah.
Gainesville?
Yeah.
I mean, at the university, those are nice. Where they sell the big, the big expensive
Bramer cattle.
Bramers and.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you want to go?
No, that is something. That is
at
just,
the university.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. Or at the.
I've been out to Santa Fe where they sell the.
Mm-hmm.
Horses, you know, the big sunshine sale.
Well, now up at the university, they have a sale every so often. They sell them. I mean, they sell them to people all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've been to a few horse sales in Gainesville. Not many.
Mm-hmm. The one we went to that was the most. Argentine? Well, no, it wasn't Argentina. Where was he from? South America.
Limbs.
Well, that's in Argentina too, mm-hmm. South America. But I mean, they were buying a certain kind. And big,
they spent some money too.
The least one didn't go. What was it? What was the cheapest?
About $800.
Was the cheapest, and went to $3,500.
and the low yearling bulls.
That is, I wonder. But boy, they were busy people that time. I mean, auctioneers and everyone who working with it, you know, I'd be afraid to breathe.
Well, I hadn't thought about it being such hard work, but it is. I know
it's strenuous.
Oh, it's so constant. And it goes. Buddy Clark starts at 1 o'clock and goes till bedtime.
Yeah. And you got to see this way. You got to see them all.
You
got
to see them all out looking.
That's right.
And one nods and one does this and one, you know.
Sometimes you do that or
not. Or one
catches.
One
catches.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I
then
he
got
I go.
That little bill down there, but he never looks at it.
But now in this auctioneer school, you have so much practice. They put you through so many auctions.
Oh yeah, they give you actual practice.
That's actual
cost
work.
$250, and you got to pay your own lodging and everything. And when you get through with that school, if they may send you, it's hard to tell where they send you for.
To work.
To run a sale.
But you still have actual practice, actual work, because you're...
I like to take it. I may take it next summer, this winter.
Well, when I go to an auction, I sit on my hands and I try to look straight, because I never know. You know, I'm always doing this or that or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I know that. It's the one I went to, I was afraid to breathe almost.
Shoot, I know. I mean, I do what I'm. What comes natural. I mean, if they... They know when you're bidding.
I hope they do.
Well, listen to this rain. Golly. You going to do any loading? You going to have to load in the rain?
It won't be the first time, and it sure won't be the last. You ain't going to be nothing to load. You'll walk right in there.
Walk right in there.
You hope. Well, she's never been loaded, so I don't know.
Oh, it's the first time.
But she's done everything else.
She's never, she was a baby when we brought her over here. She's never been off the place.
And it just sounds like it's set in for the night.
Just like that little horse I took, went up at West Virginia, went out there and bought him. Bought him on the truck and led him right around the truck and took him and ran him in the sale. And went in there and he was the second horse sold. They started him out at a nickel a pound. And I sat over there and hid and run that son of a gun slap up to 10 and a quarter. Nobody saw me bid, but the auctioneer.
Now, Cookie.
How'd you do it?
Mm-hmm. That's too nerve-wracking.
And you sat over there where nobody could see you.
Where nobody could see me.
Nobody but the auctioneer.
That's right. I sat between a post and the man. I sit right up against the post like this, my hand up here like this. And he took my bid, and I run him to $10. He called for 10 and a quarter, and this old boy over here that wanted him in the first place, he bid 10 and a quarter, and I let him have him, because I done made my money.
He just scares me to death. I can't go to auction with him.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you see the beauty of with Cookie, if he gets the animal, he can take it back and put it right through.
The thing of it is, he knows what he's doing, but I don't.
Yeah.
And it's just nerve wracking.
And you can't tell her.
Well, you can either, you're either like you are or you're not, you see.
But the thing of it is, when he gets, well, just a general auction, it'd be something he doesn't want. He just wants to help start the bid. He'll bid on everything just to get it going, you know. And I'm afraid he'll never know when to quit.
You do that?
Yes,
yes
he will. Oh, it's nerve wracking.
Oh, you mean down here on Saturday night?
Yeah, or any place.
Places like that.
He'll just start a bid on anything, whether he wants it or not. Just to help along the bid, you know, just get him started, you know. And I'm afraid somebody will quit and he'll be stuck with it.
Well, so long if I am stuck with it. I haven't lost very much money.
I know, but if you don't have the money to pay for it, you're in bad shape.
Yeah, no place to put it. That's
no place,
the worst
that's
thing.
That's the worst thing.
I don't know where I'd put anything.
I'll tell you, I'm not going to buy nothing more for the house at an auction.
Until I get rid of it.
Or nowhere else.
You got a house full.
Yeah, because I tell you what, when I'm off and come back in, I don't know whether I can get the bedroom or not.
Well, you generally can.
Yeah.
Because you're the one that clutters it up.
I am not.
I wish you'd have seen the stuff I took out of there today.
It wasn't all mine.
Well, most of it was. Cigar butts.
Well, that's it. That's all. And I know it wasn't cluttered up too much, too bad, but cigar butts in 1 week.
Oh, your cigar's out there getting wet.
You know, that's smoke.
He stuck it up in a wire to let it go out.
Because that's all I want to buy.
He's saving it.
Cookie, it won't smoke.
Not in her last cigar. That's awful. And we don't have a thing.
We ought to keep a box of cigars around here just for our friends.
Everybody ought to smoke a cigar once.
Well, I think so too, Cookie.
Drink a little. I did. I was yesterday. I didn't get you but one package.
You know, it's troubling me. I a lot of things. They talk about temptation. I can resist temptation, but never starting. If I once I smoke a cigar, I'd be smoking them from then on out. No.